मुदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गी मधुसिक्तसूक्तिं अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the first chapter of Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada spoke about Parabhakti Swarupam or Supreme Love and its nature. So nature with respect to itself, the nature with respect to achieving as to how to achieve it. So Narada explained that, and finally he gave his own definition of bhakti as to how a person can become a bhakta as naradastu tadarpita akila acharata tad vismarane parama vyakulata. So two aspects. One is tadarpita akila acharata, offering all actions on to Ishvara, and tad vismarane parama vyakulata, getting really disturbed, getting really very sad when Ishvara is forgotten. So that means Ishvara Chinta Ananya Bhajanam. So that is what is the mean. So same as Ananyas Chintayanto Maam Ye Jana Pariupasati Tesha Nitya Abhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham. A person who Ananyas Chintayanto Maam, so one who is constantly thinking about Ishvara, one who is always thinking about Ishvara, doing ananya bhajanam of Ishvara, such a person is, or such a person's needs, all his needs are taken care of by Ishvara himself. Yoga kshemam vahami aham, I'll take care of all his needs. That is because such a bhakta who has surrendered completely onto Ishvara, mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyati mai eva thau dvam na samshayah. Such a bhakta who has completely surrendered onto Ishvara, who is contemplating on Ishvara with the knowledge that Ishvara alone is present here, such a person has become one with Ishvara, such a person has merged onto Ishvara, therefore there is no difference whatsoever, and thereby Ishvara will take care, has to take care, whichever way we want to see it. So though things are explained very clearly, so Narada has already said as to what is to be followed, what is to be aspired for, aspirations for a seeker, desires for a seeker, what is to be sought out by a seeker. But still there is need or necessity to emphasize the importance of bhakti. So when a mother tells to the child that fire will burn, so don't put your hand in fire, so maybe not fire will burn, but don't put your hand in fire. So, though mother would have just mentioned slightly that fire will burn, but still the child will put his hand in fire. So, in order for the mother to avert such a possibility or an accident, when the child puts his or her hand in fire, the mother has to emphasize the importance of not putting one's hand in fire. So emphasizing the importance of something is very essential in life. So if we look at the way the human mind behaves, there are rules set everywhere. So there are rules for immigration, but still there are illegal immigrants everywhere. It's not just in one country, in all countries. So though there are rules set for traffic, but still the rules are violated. So that makes it more important, or it becomes more essential to speak about the importance of something. So even after importance of bhakti or any other thing is being spoken is being told, still the human mind wants to go against such rules, such necessity. Therefore, Narada is trying to emphasize or trying to put the importance of bhakti in the second chapter. Why is bhakti very important? Why is bhakti essential? Of course, it's as simple as telling that without bhakti, a person, bhaktya mam abhijhanati. So that's what Krishna says in Gita. Person can know me through bhakti. So without this bhakti, without knowing Ishvara, there cannot be contentment. So, samakshatrau chamitre cha tata mana apamanayoho shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samasanga vivarjitah tulyaninda sudhir mauni santushto yena kenachit. Santushtaha yena kenachit. Whatever, with whatever is being achieved or attained, santosham, contentment. So contentment with whatever is being achieved, whatever is there, that is something very tough to gain, and that cannot be gained unless there is true bhakti. That is because, that's also simple, it's because the human mind wants perfection, it wants to achieve that state. Yat gatvana nivartante yat jnatva mokshyase ashubhat. So it wants to achieve that state after which there is nothing else to achieve. That state which is perfect, complete, blissful, there is no sorrow, there is no, it's not tainted, even tainted the least, even the least by sorrow. Such a state the human mind wants, and such a state can be achieved only by realizing Ishvara, because Ishvara is the only person who is eternal, who is permanent, who is perfect, who is infinite, who is blissful, who is content, or who is the very nature of contentment. So therefore it is essential to realize or seek Ishvara. And when we speak about importance of bhakti, so importance of anything, it will be spoken about with respect to other paths, other things that are available. So when we speak about, when we want to speak about the importance of Sony laptop, we have to speak about Sony laptop with respect to other laptop companies, Dell, HP, Acer, all those. So that's how comparison has to be done. Like when we want to judge Microsoft, we have to compare it with Google or Yahoo. So similarly, here Narada is trying to analyze or compare bhakti with other paths. Other paths are karma, jnanam, yoga, etc. So one thing which we have to really remember here is jnanam is the same as bhakti. Real karma yoga is also same as bhakti. Real yoga is also same as bhakti. So while speaking about anything, any path, there are two things. One is the goal, and second is the path. So when we are speaking about bhakti, there is para bhakti, there is apara bhakti. So para bhakti is the goal, apara bhakti is the path. When we speak about jnanam, when Shankara speaks about brahmatmaiky jnanam, that is the goal, whereas there is the jnana margam. So there is margam and there is goal, or gati we can say. So with respect to margam, we can compare, we can speak about each and every margam. And with respect to the goal, we cannot compare at all, because the goal is just one alone. So with respect to the path, there are many paths. With respect to the goal, there is only one goal, and the goal is achieved through either yogam or bhakti or jnanam, term it whatever we want. Goal is realizing that there is only one here, there is no duality at all. Nehanana stikinchana. So that is the goal. And Narada is here speaking about bhakti, para bhakti, that means the goal bhakti. So the goal bhakti is compared with other paths. So we have to remember this, that goal bhakti is compared with path, various paths. And with respect to paths, of course the goal is better, much higher than the path itself. And in some cases, the goal will be the same as the path. The path itself will be the goal. So with respect to bhakti, the path or apara bhakti will automatically lead to para bhakti. So what is apara bhakti? Doing actions with respect to Ishvara, doing actions to remember Ishvara. What is the goal? That itself is the, will lead you to the goal of merging on to Ishvara. I hope this is very clear, because if not, there will be many doubts. Even people from various missions have doubt with respect to these paths or whatever Narada is trying to tell here. Therefore, we will definitely have doubts. So we have to be clear that Narada is here speaking about various paths and comparing it with bhakti path and bhakti goal. So first thing is, bhakti path and bhakti goal both are exactly the same. One will lead automatically to the other. So the next question is, what about other paths? So with respect to karma, of course we know that karma yoga, karma yogam is nishkama karmam or ishvara arpitam naichaya krutam. Such a karma, chitta shodakam, it will purify the mind, mukti sadakam, it will help in mukti, it will not give mukti. Chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu upalabdhaye. So it cannot give us the goal, it will help us in achieving the goal. So it's like telling, we want to reach a particular place, we want to go to Michigan and meet Amma. So there are many paths. We can drive, we can fly, we can go by train. But all those are paths. All those will not take us to where Amma is or Hyatt Hotel. It won't take us there. What will take us? Going into the hotel. So going into the hotel is the final step. Everything else is just a path. The paths won't lead us to the goal. So here, the path of like driving, that is karma yoga. That will not take us or give us Hyatt Hotel entrance. We have to enter into the hotel. So that is with respect to karma. So karma, the karma margam cannot give us moksha. What about jnanam? Jnana margam can give us moksha. Can give us moksha. There is no will give us moksha. Oh, are you very sure about it? Shankara goes against it. Very sure, crystal clear. Why? In jnana margam, when a person tries to learn the scriptures, when a person learns a lot of scriptures, there are chances of fall down. There are chances of having the sense of ego. And that ego sense is much more dangerous than any other thing in the entire world. That itself will lead to the downfall of a person. Therefore, in jnana marga, it can lead to the goal. Of course, Shankara will say it will lead to the goal. It will means what? There are conditions. There are ways in which a person should do jnanam. If that is not there, if there is no bhakti towards Brahman, bhakti towards the subject matter, vishayam of the shastras, then jnanam will lead to boosting the ego or nourishing the ego sense, but not give us the goal. Okay, what about yoga? Of course, many people go about speaking about yoga. What is yoga? Ashtanga yogam. That is not yoga. As per Patanjali, that is not yoga. And yogam, concentrating or trying to fix our mind on Ishvara. Many a times yoga is considered fixing the mind on a particular entity. There is no knowledge aspect there. It's mechanical. Ashtanga yogam itself is mechanical. Many people mix Raja yoga with Hatha yoga. So all those will not help. So all the path, karma, jnanam, yogam, will not necessarily give us the goal. A true jnani, we have to remember here, like this is where we should understand clearly, a true jnani is a true bhakta. A true yogi is a true bhakta. A true karma yogi, automatically they are bhakti jnanam, everything comes. So a person who is following the path to perfection, automatically all others will come. But in all these paths, in karma jnana yogam, there are chances of fall down. Of course, in bhakti also there are chances of fall down. Chances are less. And moreover, bhakti in itself will lead us to the goal. Bhakti requires jnanam. So chances of fall down are less in bhakti, and therefore Narada says that bhakti is superior. Satu karma jnana yogebhyo api adhikatara. This is better, superior than karma jnanam and yoga. Why? Phala rupatvat. Because bhakti itself is the path and the goal. Both are the exactly the same. Chances of falling down are less. That is the reason why a true bhakta, so any person who learns the scriptures, he is a jnani. But are all jnanis jivan muktas? No. Whereas any bhakta who is apara bhakta itself, such a bhakta will definitely become a true bhakta. Para bhakti will automatically come here. Of course, this topic is very controversial. So there is no point trying to analyze and compare and say, this is better than jnanam. I don't want to learn the scriptures. No, that is not a good approach. We have already discussed that bhakti also needs jnanam. So here it is, just each of the marga, karma, jnana, yoga, person who follows them without proper attitude, without following the conditions of each path, such a person has been spoken of here. And bhakti, the chances of fall down are less. Why chances of fall down are less? It is the path as well as the goal, one. So bhakti is the path as well as the goal. Both are exactly the same. Exactly means one will lead to the other very easily. And not just because of that, but Ishvarasya api abhimana dveshitva dainya priyatva cha. Because Ishvara likes a person who doesn't have abhimanam. So a person who doesn't have the sense of I, Ishvara loves such a person. Oh, this means like Ishvara is partial. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Every being, all beings are one to me. Name dveshyosti na priyah. I don't have attachment or aversion to anyone. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya. But a person who is devotional to me, who is really devotional, true devotion is there for such a person. Mayite teshu chapyaham, I am in them, they are in me. So Ishvara doesn't differentiate, the differentiation is in our mind. When a person goes beyond aham and mama, that is when the person really sees Ishvara. When a person really sees Ishvara, he becomes very dear to Ishvara. So this is just a figurative way of putting it, that Ishvara doesn't like ahankaram. It's not about Ishvara not liking ahankaram. Ishvara cannot be known with ahankaram. Ahankaram will veil Ishvara. Therefore, in all these other margas, ahankaram can be there. In bhakti, can there be any ahankaram? Ahankaram cannot be there at all. That's the reason why Balakrishna Nair always says Ishvara Chinta, everything is one Ishvara, person has to focus. So in jnanam, as long as a person doesn't reach the state or stage of Advitiya Satyam, contemplation of Nididhyasanam of Advitiya Satyam, jnanam itself will lead to ahankaram. So it won't give the goal. Whereas a bhakta starts with everything is Ishvara's grace. Everything is Ishvara's will. So there is no chance of falling down. So ishwarasya api abhimana dveshitva. Ishwara doesn't like abhimanam ahankaram. We have to remember all these are figurative way of putting. So tomorrow we shouldn't complain, or we shouldn't say quote from this and say Ishwara is impartial. Yes, Ishwara is impartial. We shouldn't say that Ishwara is not at all impartial. What this really means is Ishwara cannot be achieved by bhakti. So when we hate somebody, what will happen? That person cannot come near to us. We will try to avoid the person as much as possible. Not as much as possible, we will avoid the person at all costs. So that means when Ishwara hates somebody, that means the person will not be able to achieve Ishwara. Remember Ishwara. So that is what is meant here. So we have to remember this. Like if we don't, then we will get confused. And Dainya Priyatvat. So meekness, dainyam means like meekness. So that means the humility is always there in a bhakta. Again, I'm stressing this again and again, that bhakti, the goal of bhakti is the same as the goal of jnanam. It's not different. That is the same as the goal of yogam. The paths are different. The paths can be compared. The goal cannot be compared. When we achieve the goal, all these paths have to be there. Chitta Shuddhi should be there. Jnanam should be there. Bhakti should be there. Yogam, or fixing the mind, should be there. All are essential in the goal. All are there in the goal. With respect to the paths, bhakti is superior because it itself gives the goal. Bhakti automatically will involve other margas, whereas in other margas, jnanam, a person can have jnanam, but he doesn't need to have bhakti towards the goal. That's why many people get ego sense. If there is bhakti towards the goal of Advitiya Satyam, then there will be no sense of ego. Similar with karma and other things. And also, ahankaram is not at all there, and there is a sense of humility, vinayam, always in a bhakta. Therefore, bhakti is superior. Bhakti is better. We can say bhakti is better, but better wouldn't be a right word. Even Narada used adhikatara, is superior. So superior, something being superior doesn't really mean that is really good. So Ferrari is very superior. Ferrari or F1, or let's say like any such fast car, they are superior. BMW is superior. Does that essentially mean that it can be used anywhere? No. People do complain about such cars which have whose horsepower is very high. What would happen? Fuel consumption will be very less. So for 5 miles, you'll get 1 gallon. 1 gallon of fuel for just 5 miles, or even 2 or 3 miles. So that means they cannot be used on normal routes. They cannot be used for normal driving. They can be used for racing. That's why they are called race cars. So they are superior. The statement doesn't mean that they have to be used everywhere. So bhakti is superior doesn't mean all sadhakas are entitled to follow bhakti alone. It depends on the nature of a person. Some people might be able to follow bhakti. Some people may not be able to follow bhakti. Some people who are intellectuals, they cannot follow bhakti. They need to know. They need to have knowledge. They have to primarily follow jnana margam and then have bhakti. So bhakti is suitable for all people, but that doesn't mean that everyone can follow bhakti. Bhakti is superior. Bhakti margam is superior because margam itself is the goal. There is no sense of ego. So among all paths, bhakti is very good. Bhakti is really good. So of course, we have to remember again that all these are just Narada's way of trying to lure us into following bhakti. So all these statements, many acharyas might or will term these statements as Arthavadam. In many shlokas of Gita are also considered Arthavadam. So here we don't have to consider it as Arthavadam. It is a fact, but still we can say that it is trying to emphasize, trying to speak about the importance, trying to make a person follow bhakti. Okay, bhakti is more good. It's really good. So that's a way to lure a person, and we have to remember that. So a sadhaka needs to have all the margam at the end. There should be everything. Everything should be there. There should be a proper blend of all the margas, because the goal is just one. But in devotion, it is very easy. So jnanam, we already have discussed, and Narada himself said that atra apina mahatmya jnana vismriti apavahadaha. Jnanam is there in bhakti, therefore we can't avoid jnanam, we can't avoid other things as well. What is yogam? Remembering Ishvara is automatically yogam. Remembering that everything is one, vision of oneness is yogam. Karma is also there, because tadarpita akila acharatha, if everything is offered to Ishvara, that is karmam. So all are there. But what is important here, what is important in all the margas, though Narada is speaking about bhakti as bhakti margam as important or higher, superior than all other margas, still what is, it's not important which marga we follow. So if, when somebody says, oh, I am suitable to bhakti, for bhakti, that itself means the person is not following bhakti. A true bhakta, a true jnani, a true karma yogi, a true yogi, they will not compare all these margas. Why? Because each of these margas will lead us to advitiyam, lead us to going beyond dvaitam. So as long as dvaitam is there, we can compare. When a person has natuta dvitiyam asti anya vibhaktam yat pashyet, when there is no dvitiyam, when there is no duality, then how can we compare? There will be no comparison at all. So comparison, argument, attacking opponent, tarkavadam, all those are at the empirical plane. When a person is following any of these marga and he is not following it necessarily, I like bhajanam, I like bhakti, that in itself, like, we can, in our mind, we can decide that such a person is a real fool. He doesn't know what bhakti is. Because person who knows bhakti will not speak about anything. How can he speak? Oh, everything is Ishvara. Oh, what do you think about me following jnana yoga? Oh, everything is Ishvara's will. If he wants you to follow jnanam, follow jnanam. If you want to be a yoga, oh, do yogam, don't worry. Remember that everything is Ishvara and do yogam. Automatically, such a person will become a bhakta. So there will be no comparison by a true follower. Only people who seem to follow, who don't really follow, there will be comparison. So bhakti is very good. Bhakti doesn't have any ahankaram, but that requires jnanam as well. So remembering that everything is one Ishvara, that is very easy. That itself is the goal, that itself is the path. There is no ahankaram, there is humility, there is vision of oneness. Everything, karma, jnanam, yogam, everything is there in it. Just constant contemplation of advitiya satyam mayeva mana adatswa mayi buddhim niveshaya, that nivasishyati mayeva, such a person will abide in me. In me means what? Amrita swarupam. Amrita swarupi Ishvara, ananda rupi or ananda rupam. That Ishvara who is ananda swarupam, such an Ishvara, I'll abide in such an Ishvara, then there will be nothing else to be sought, there will be nothing else to be known. Such a person, yam labdhva saparam labam manyate nadikam chatataha. After having attained this, there will be nothing else, nothing more or else to achieve. There is no other goal to achieve. Yasmin tito na dukkena guruna api vichalyate. Not even for the biggest sorrow, such a person will move from anandam. Such a person will be nishchalam, without any movement. Aneja rekam, or tat ejati tanna ejati. Tat ejati, movement externally, na ejati internally, not moving internally, not at all moving from anandam, because that alone is there. If that alone is there, how can there be any moment, such a person will be ever blissful. We'll continue with the next few sutras in the next day, I'm sure.